Mom, can I go see the stars?
That's the first sentence of Record of a Spaceborne Few by Becky Chambers. I'm Erica Ensign, and this is Recently Read. If you regularly listen to book club episodes of The Incomparable, you've probably heard Jason Snell and several other people, including me, waxing poetic about how much we enjoyed Becky Chambers' novels, The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, and its follow-up, A Closed and Common Orbit. Record of a Spaceborne Few is her third book in this universe, but I'm not going to call it the third in a series. All three of these novels take place in the far future, in a universe in which Earth has been ravaged by the depredations of humanity, and humans have fled the planet, either to elsewhere in the solar system, Mars or other solar colonies, or in a great exodus fleet to the stars, where they discover they share the galaxy with various alien races, many of whom are part of the Galactic Commons, a loose federation of races that, at the time of these books, only recently let humanity join. I'm purposely going to avoid heavy spoilers about the other two books because I think they're great and I think you should read them. I don't, however, think you need to read them before you read this book. If, like me, you are quite particular about consuming media in the order it was created, you probably will, but you don't have to. One of the things I found most fascinating about this world as I discovered it in the first book was the place of humans in this future. We are basically at the bottom of the social ladder. As I said, humanity was only allowed to enter the Galactic Commons a short time before the events in these books, actually within the lifetimes of some of the human characters. Now, I grew up reading a lot of whiz-bang space future books where man was either alone in the universe or at war with an equally powerful race or simply just the top of the heap. So the idea of humanity brought low isn't a new idea, but it felt refreshing to me, in part because Chambers didn't dwell on it. It was simply a fact of life in that first novel. The second book focused on an artificial intelligence learning to live disguised as a human, so it was a more personal story. Thus, while galactic politics definitely figured in, it was much more around the edges. And while I didn't miss it at all, I really, really adored that book. I'm serious, you should read it. I was excited to discover that Record of a Spaceborne Few is all about humans and human history and the future of humanity. Humans, humans, humans. Did have the side effect of feeling a little bit preachy, but I find that's something I've run into in most media that focuses on our place in a larger universe. In Doctor Who, we got the Fourth Doctor's famous "humans are indomitable" speech. In Babylon 5, the other races observe that humans build community like no other race. In Star Trek, well, Star Trek, especially early Star Trek, is told from a very human-centric viewpoint. So, anyway, the greatness of humanity tends to be a theme I bounce off of, which is part of why I loved Chambers' first book so much. We were just another race in a great big universe, which is why, as a reader, I am personally glad that I did read this book the third of the three. My appetite for more information was whetted by the first two books, so by the time I got here to Record of a Spaceborne Few, I was really ready to dive into human society and just see what it's all about. So, this book takes place in the Exodon fleet, and it follows the lives of a handful of separate characters as they go about their lives in the fleet. There's a familial connection to one of the characters from the first book. One of the characters we follow here in the fleet is the sister of the captain from The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, but it's not in any way a plot point. It's just a thing that's mentioned a few times. Usually it's an example of how and why a human might want to leave the fleet and sort of join that larger universe. In terms of plot, it's somewhat similar to the first book in that there's not exactly a central story or mystery to solve. It's more like a day in the life or a few months in the life, I guess. Examination of what it's like to grow up in a wholly artificial environment in which resources are finite, so every molecule must be cared for, tracked, and reused, up to and including human bodies after they die. Or, in the case of one of the POV characters, it's about what it's like to come from living on a planet and then try to adjust to life on a spaceship in a fleet that has developed a pretty insular society. So, it's not super easy to settle in and make friends when everyone looks at you as an outsider. This is nicely contrasted by one of the characters who simply can't wait to leave the fleet and go anywhere else because the fleet never really changes that much, so life there, to this person, is boring with a capital bore. My favorite thing about all three of these books is the well-developed universe that Chambers created. It feels so deeply built out. Like, I could pop in and ask about any random race or planet or space station or racial tradition or social construct or anything, and there would be a fully formed answer. Even the smallest interactions seem to have accounted for how each part of this world affects the others. This book is no different, from the way they care for their dead, to the layout of the residential areas of the ships, to the way families decorate their homes to commemorate the generations who have lived there before, to the central idea that everyone must do something to pull their weight. Ooh, and the delightful concept that everyone should try different jobs to determine what they're best at and see how they can best serve the fleet. There were exceedingly few moments where I wondered, how would that work? Because Chambers told me, or showed me. In terms of the relationships and personal journeys of the characters, I think I connected with this book the least of the three, possibly because the connections between the characters, even within this book, was more tenuous than in the previous books. Instead of having a core cast of characters who work together, we dip in and out of the lives of people who don't really interact with each other all that much, though to be fair, when they do, it is definitely in a meaningful way. I personally prefer stories about a team pulling together because I find that more emotionally compelling, like one large pull at my heartstrings instead of having my feel sort of tugged in multiple directions, but that's just me. Your mileage may vary. On a previous Incomparable episode, I'm pretty sure I said I wanted many, many more stories told in this universe, anywhere in this universe, and so far, that is exactly what I'm getting. Each book has a thin thread tying it to the others, but they are definitely not continuations of the same story. I hope Becky Chambers continues to write more about this universe, and then more, because I am all in. I'm Erica Ensign, and this has been Recently Read.